The Bible says in 1 John 4:8, talking to a believer, he who does not love does not know God. You hear me? He who does not practice a lifestyle of agape does not know God. Why? For God is love.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and welcome. Let's get right into the study today and join Pastor Bill as he concludes the message, The Christian's Death and Judgment, from the New Testament epistle of 2 Corinthians.
This body can't work in heaven. I have to have a brand new body. Man, what a glorious day that is going to be. Listen, Paul said in Romans 8, 38? He says, I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor any created thing, and he goes on and on, shall ever be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Listen, when we die, it's not like we would think, it's over. Man, and we're home, forever and ever and ever. Now, somebody said, what really is death then? You know what death is? It's when God calls you home. Hey, Bill, Lazarus, he calls you. When I was a little boy, I played in the farm, huge farm. I loved it. And my grandmother, when we had cows and all that, and she called the cows, you know what I'm saying? She goes, Sooey! I'm sorry, but that's something like that. She'd get on the fence, the corral, because she was a little short woman, and she would go, Billy! Just yell it out, come home. And I'd hear that, and she'd maybe do two or three times, and I would say, Grandma's calling me home. That's what's going to happen with us. Billy, come home now forever. Whew! Forever and ever and ever. That's all it is. That's what death is to the believer. Now, with all that being said, though, look at verse 9. He says, therefore, we make it our aim. Boy, in other words, I am ambitious, Paul says. I'm honoring the Lord. I love the Lord. I'm making it our aim, whether we're present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, to Jesus. Not trying to earn God's love or earn your salvation. You're complete in Christ, amen? You're accepted in the beloved. That's not what Paul is saying at all. He's saying, listen, there is absolutely no greater aim in a Christian's life or ambition in a Christian's life than that of putting at the very top of your list, prioritizing, saying this, my purpose and my aim and what I want to do because I love Jesus Christ is I want to please him, amen? That's what he's saying. As far as we know, the Bible, I've not found it anywhere, but as far as we know, the opportunities for pleasing God actually occur on earth, where we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We walk by the grace or the divine favor of God. Amen? So, I would encourage every believer to study, open your Bible, study out, and find what is pleasing unto God. It says in Ephesians 5:10, it says, finding out what pleases the Lord. Colossians 1:10 talks about fully pleasing the Lord, that you would walk worthy of your calling, and so forth. Now, I know one thing that pleases God in a great way, and that is when we do something, obey his commands. What pleases God is when we treat love, meaning the agape that he's placed in our hearts, okay? When we treat love, we don't treat love as a noun, but we treat agape, God's love that's in us, as a verb. And because love, agape, is a verb, its action is to be demonstrated. That's what we need to be doing. And not only that, you want to please the Lord? Don't talk about loving one another. I love you, man. No, God says, practice it. Put that into practice. Jesus in the upper room, when he announced to his disciples, he says, listen, I am leaving this world. I'm leaving by way of the cross. Remember that? What did he do? He said, listen, he says, I'm giving you a command. It's one of our vision scriptures for our vision statement for this church. He said, I'm giving you a new commandment in John 13:35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Man, Jesus is not only the example of love. Jesus said, I want you guys and all of us to love one another. Jesus said, you love one another just like I've loved you to the same degree. And then Jesus says, by this, all will know. All will know. By this, not by miracles, not by because you graduated from Bible college or because you go to church or because you tithe or because you teach Sunday school. He said, Jesus said, by this, meaning loving one another, by this, all will know that when you love one another as I've loved you, that you are my disciples. That's the litmus test of being a Christian, loved one, is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8, it says, he who does not love, talking to a believer, he who does not love does not know God. You hear me? He who does not practice a lifestyle of agape does not know God. Why? For God is love. No matter what you, religious profession, no matter what we might call ourselves, the true litmus test for being a believer, do you love one another as Christ loved us? That is the perfect key. That'll please God each and every time. Look at verse 9 again. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Why? We're going to leave death behind now. We're going to look at the believer's judgment. Because after death, something happens. We know that there is a judgment which all of us must appear. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die. It's an appointed. The word appointed means it is a set moment. It is a calendar time. God has a calendar in heaven. He says, Bill, that's your day. You're coming home that day. I want you with me for all eternity. Everything on earth that I've called you to do, it's over with. Come home, Bill. It's appointed unto man once to die, then cometh the judgment. That's what the writer of Hebrews tells us. Now listen, don't forget that the believer's death and judgment is totally different from the unbeliever's death and judgment. Amen? Yes. So look what he says now. He says, for we must, it's certain, there's no escape. That's a very important word. We must all, every one of us, every believer, we must all appear. That word means to unveil, by the way. We must all appear before the judgment seat or the bema seat of Christ. That means Jesus is the judge. And here it is, that each one, not, it's not going to be a judgment in mass, loved one. It's an individual judgment. You are before the Lord. I'm before the Lord. That each one may receive the things done in that tent that he lives in, that body that's on earth. According to what he has done, look at this now, whether good or bad, that word bad literally means or what is worthless. Now listen, one day, all of us, each of us, we're going to stand before the one who loves us, the one who died for us on the cross and took our place, the one who paid the penalty of our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to stand before our Lord who loves you. And he's going to say, now it's time today, an account, an evaluation of your entire life in that tent is going to be given. Well, that is, to me, that's scary. I'm sorry. I know I'm saved, okay? But I'm going, that's just scary. You see, the judgment, it's about our works, okay? It's not to determine our destiny. We're saved. Does that make sense? We're in heaven. The Bema Seat of Christ is for believers only. If you are at the Bema Seat, you got it made, okay? You made it. Now, and I say, oh, Lord, and I'm going to have to give an account. Yeah, Bill, that's right. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every work. The word work is very important, by the way. Every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. You know, at this judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, did you know that inoperative words are idle words? It says, in Jesus told us in Matthew 12:36, he says, Jesus said, for I say to you, every idle word, words that don't produce life from a believer, every idle word that men speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Our deeds, our works, even our words, All our life matters, doesn't it? Everything we do matters in this life. Paul, writing to the church at Rome in chapter 14, verse 10, said, he says, why do you judge your brother? And why do you show contempt for your brother? In other words, you know, that had to do, remember, with strong Christian and the weak Christian. And he goes this, he says, for we all, every one of us, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. Here it comes. So each of us individually, shall give an account of himself to God. That's going to happen. And it doesn't have to be a frightening thing. Because, see, it's Jesus' idea to give us rewards, isn't it? See, only believers there. And the Bema Seat is a place for rewards. You're not going to be judged for your sins. Do you understand that? See, what did the Bible tell us? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen? Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, a believer's position with God is one of this. You're justified, just as if you had never sinned. The moment that you ask Christ to come into your heart, a judicial act by God happens in heaven. He declares the believing sinner not guilty. It's not a feeling, it's a fact. You have been justified. In other words, God the Father imputes, not imparts, imputes the perfect, spotless, sinless, pleasing, unstained record of Christ Jesus, his life. And he transfers those over into your account. And when God sees you, he sees you in Christ Jesus, as just as if you had never sinned. That is our position, certainly not our practice. And if that's why we have to run to the Lord if we sin. We don't want to sin, but if we do, we go to the Lord and confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the judgment seat, we're not going to be judged for our sins, but we are going to be judged for our works. We're not saved by works, but again, we were saved for good works. Amen? Ephesians 2:10. So with all that being said, all of our works, what we've done in this life for the Lord, it's going to be tested by fire, the Bible says. Some of us, maybe me, all of it. I may lose everything. I pray not. I want my motivation and my heart to be pure. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hold your place and let's just look. Let me just read a few verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Hold your place now in 2 Corinthians. Paul writes, he says, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. In other words, there is not another foundation for any man in this earth to build upon. There's one foundation, and it's Jesus Christ. Amen? He says, now, if anyone builds on this foundation, in other words, builds his life, okay, his walk with gold and silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, here it comes. Notice the word work over and over. Each one's work, not a mass work, individual work. Each one's work will become clear. Why? For the day will declare it, meaning they're at the judgment seat of Christ. It says, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test, here it comes again, each one's what? His work. Test it how? Well, what sort is it? What kind of work is it, you know, and so forth. So fire is not a punishment. Fire here is just revealing what our works are. They are. If anyone's, here comes that word, work, which he has built on, endures, Jesus said, hey, God's word said he's going to receive a reward. And we're not told what the rewards are, by the way. And if anyone's work is burned, the wood, hay, and stubble, the worthless things, it says he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though by the fire. In other words, all the things that you did, the motivation, if it's impure, and you did it for self and not for the Lord, he says, no, it's just going to burn up. Thank God, that's called grace, isn't it? They're all gone. It's just like Lot. Lot lost everything by fire, but he was still saved, wasn't it? Yes, and so man's work is going to be burned up, not his soul or anything like that, but saved, but no reward. Listen, I want rewards, don't you? It's not man's idea, it's God's idea. You know, I don't want to miss out on anything. No wonder Jesus said in Revelation 22:12, he says, behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me, listen carefully, to give to everyone according to his work. According to, meaning the things that you've done that God's called you to do, commanded you to do for him, your purchased possession, loved one, you're not your own. And so I look and say, oh, Lord, the things that we do for you, it's very important to remember something. That word work is so important. Did you know you look up all the final judgments in God's word? There's the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. There's the sheep and goat judgment. There's the great white throne judgment. They all have to do with man's works. Even the unbeliever, when at the great white throne judgment, it says, then the books were opened and they were judged according to their works. Man, loved one, listen to me. What you do down here is very, very important because your life is going to be evaluated. 1 Peter 4:10, Peter writes, he says, as each one has received a gift, meaning a spiritual gift, received by grace, given unto you, you know, a supernatural gift that abides in you. He says, minister it or let him use it one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Good stewards. A steward is someone who doesn't own the gift, but has been entrusted with it by his master. And our master is the Lord. You know, we're going to stand before the Lord. We're going to give an account. I'm going to give an account of my ministry, my marriage, the way I raise children, all that I've done. You're going to be the same. We're going to give an account. I want to give a good account, don't you? I want to say, Lord, you know, like Pastor Chuck used to say, do your best, Bill, and commit the rest. Amen. Thank you, Chuck. You know what I mean? No. Let's look, as we talk about these things, let's look at verse 11 here in 2 Corinthians one more time. Look at verse 11. It says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Now, what does that mean, terror of the Lord? That means we as believers, we have a godly, awesome fear in our hearts about the accountability that we have to Jesus Christ. And Paul says, hey, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, look what he does and what we do as well. We persuade men. If you don't know Christ this morning, I'll do anything to persuade you to come to the one who loves you, to the one who died for you, and the one who wants to prepare a place in heaven for you. If you don't know the Lord, listen to me. Let me tell you what Jesus said in John 5:28. Jesus said, hey, don't marvel, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves, in other words, no matter where it is in all the world, they're going to hear his voice. Now listen carefully. And come forth. They're going to hear his voice and they're going to come forth. Those who have done good, meaning those who have received Christ as Lord, to the resurrection of life. And those who have done evil, meaning those who want nothing to do with Jesus, reject him, to the resurrection of condemnation. That's a great white throne judgment, loved one, at the end of the age. Now listen to me. There is only one person and one legitimate reason to fear death. That's it. And that is to be outside of Christ. In other words, you're not born again. You're not part of the family of God. Listen, every person that has ever lived from Adam until the last person, they are alive. They may be dead. They're alive. Do you hear me? Every person that has died is alive someplace. And every person, Jesus said, that has ever lived will be resurrected. What does that mean? It means that death is not the end. It means that you're going to be living eternally someplace. Listen, only Jesus, as it says in Revelation 1:18, only Jesus, he said, I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega. He said, I have the keys. I can just see him. I have the keys. I died on the cross. I was he who died, yet now I live. And I have the keys. I have the keys to death. I have the keys to hell. He has them. Do you understand that? That's why a Christian should never fear death. Why? He, if you have the keys, you've conquered it. Do you understand? He's conquered that for you and for me. But if you're lost, if you don't know Christ, Jesus has those keys, but there's no escape. See, to reject Jesus and his grace, you know what happened? I don't want you, Lord. Then God's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but the key goes in there and he turns that lock. Listen to me now, and it'll never be unlocked again. Never, never, ever again for all eternity. Knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. Boy, if you don't know Christ, you're going to die just like I am. And there are only two places that a person could go. Hell, which Jesus said hell was not prepared for man. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. God says, I'm not willing that any should perish. Not one, but that all should come to repentance or the knowledge of the Lord. Man, listen. Jesus said in John 5:40, though, he says, but you're not willing to come to me that you might have life. God wants to give you life. He wants to give you everlasting life. One of my favorite scriptures, listen to me. If you don't know the Lord, listen to this. Jesus said in John 5:24, he says, most assuredly, in the Greek that would be, actually this is two Hebrew words, amen and amen. That means it's indisputable, it's infallible, it is certain, it can never change. Jesus gives a double assurance. He says, amen and amen. I say to you, whoever, anyone, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. When you ask Christ to come into your heart, Jesus be the Lord of my life, it says you have everlasting life instantly. Now listen, and you shall not come into the judgment, meaning the great white throne judgment, from which there is no escape, no trial, no jury, no exits, no plea bargains. He says, oh no, you'll not come into the judgment. Listen now, no condemnation. Your sins are forgiven. Heaven is your home. And he says, and you have passed from death, out of death, into life. Out of death. It'll never touch you. But if you don't pass out of death, it will touch you. And you will taste what death really is. And that is eternal death. Forever and ever and ever. And it's separation from God. I don't know what more I can say except come to the Lord if you don't know him. Father, I pray in Jesus' name right now. I don't know if maybe everyone here, they're all believers, and I pray that they are, Father. However, if there's that one person, maybe they're doubting their salvation, or maybe they just go to church, but they're not living the Christian life, or maybe, Lord, they have never asked you personally with their mouth to be the Lord of their life. If they're here, they can do so right now. If that's you, loved one, you say, Bill, I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want to be saved. Just lift your hand straight up and put it right back down. God bless you back there. I see that. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus to be the Lord. God bless you. I see that hand. Thank you. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus. I want him now. I want my sins forgiven. I want heaven as my home. I want to be born from above. Last call. Anyone before I pray? Those that lifted your hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, today I want to be saved. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Therefore, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. You promised if I would confess Christ as Lord and really believe in my heart, you would save me. I really believe. Therefore, I am saved in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for what just happened. It's a miracle. It's called the new birth. Old things passed away, all things become new. There is no one like you, Jesus. Thank you that we know that when we pass this place, when we put off this old earthly tent, oh man, we have a building from God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, forever and ever and ever. Let everything that we do, this church, all that we do, be pleasing to the one who died for us. We love you. We give you praise. We give you honor in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.
We'll be back tomorrow to finish out the week with more of Pastor Bill's study in 2 Corinthians. So please tune in again, won't you? And thanks, everyone, for spending some of your day with us. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.